This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Embracing Change. You are joining us for episode 10 of the season 9, which is Leaving Prison to Build a Pulpit, the 30-year journey, where Lakrita is taking us through her early shift into ministry and how she shifted out of prison into being who God wanted her to be from the very beginning, and when the world had tricked her, if you will, the enemy had tricked her into being something else, or believing that she was something else, when God really had a different plan.
And I think that that happens to most of us.
It does.
And especially in the, I can only speak in the format and or the arena that I hope that I live in primarily. And I know I live in the world, but I'm not of it, but I live in the kingdom. And I live for the kingdom.
Yeah, amen.
And so it's a process, though. It's a process. And uncovering, you know, and seeing my purpose as my pulpit, as I spoke on the last one about uncovering performance versus producing, I think that what I had to learn in that whole process is that everything happened to me was purposed. It had purpose. It wasn't God's best for me. That was not what he wanted. But everything that I am today was already in me, even when I was going through that.
Right.
And so my pulpit is not necessarily a church, I'm learning, it's more my posture.
Yeah.
It's the posture of my heart. So my purpose is the posture of my heart. And I talked about me performing and my relationship. And so now it's about, will I be willing to give my life over for a greater purpose so it can become the pulpit? And the pulpit is my lifestyle. It's how I live. It's wherever God puts me, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it is in, you know, where I am my pulpit, because my pulpit lives in my heart. It is the posture of my life. My life is my pulpit.
Yeah.
When I hear people talk about, we are the walking epistles.
Yeah.
That is what I'm talking.
Yeah.
That it's in my lifestyle. It's in my life. That is my purpose. My purpose became my pulpit. In other words, not what I do, but who I am. So often we get the do and don't become the am. The I am. I am who he says I am. Because he is the great I am, so I am what he says about me.
Amen.
And so my pulpit.
It's so good.
Yeah, my pulpit is my posture. It's doing difficult stuff.
Yeah.
Even when I don't want to. I just said in here today about, why do I care? I care. I used to care because I felt like if something went wrong, it was attached to me some kind of way.
Yeah.
And I know now that's not the truth.
Yeah.
I care because I do believe in excellence. And I do believe that we should represent Christ in a way that's excellent. Not perfect, but our best.
Yeah.
And so I care because that's why. And when things are not done in that way, it bothers me. And not that I expect people to be perfect or think that they, you know, I'm better or all those kind of things, but I'm learning that my posture is my pulpit. It's how I live my life in integrity and honesty and trustworthy. I was talking to someone today, and he said something to me. He said, you know, Lakrita, I know you. And he said, so when somebody says something about you or you come and talk to me about certain things, I don't look at it as manipulation or deception. He said, not everyone is going to look at you that way. I look at it as Lakrita, the person who desires to do the high most good for the right thing. Some people will look at it like, she's trying to go around, she's trying to do it her way, you know, and that's because they're insecure in themselves, not because that is who you are. And so I'm learning to look at the purpose of my life in such a way now that, yes, I've done great ministry over 30 years, and I've, you know, God has used my life to touch many other lives.
Yep.
But God used this ministry to change me. That's what he did. He used it as this ministry was my purpose, but it was also my pulpit. And it helped me posture myself into the person that he desired me to be. When he put himself on that cross, he saw me as I was, not who I what I did, but he saw me who I was meant to be. So when I talk about wholeness, I speak about the wholeness that I never have been broken in his perspective. I was already unified and whole. I just had to believe it, and I just had to embrace it. And I know that part of my pain has become my passion, but it has also become my purpose that is now my pulpit. Hmm. And I'm not going to alter that. That I don't have to be a pastor in a church to have a pulpit.
Right.
My pulpit is wherever I am.
Right.
If I am in the bank and someone is in need of prayer, I'm going to stop and drop because the opportunity is now.
Right. Yeah.
And this ministry has taught me that from the concept of it to learning the putting it together, you know what I'm saying, watching God do some of his greatest work to in me. He's changed me. People always talk about, Miss LaCreedy, you helped me. They have no idea how much they've helped me because the people I've served has created me to become a better me for God.
Yeah, and that came about through challenges.
Oh, my
God.
And
opposition that you might have had at different points in different ways. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Changing is hard.
Oh, it is.
It's
change,
hard.
You know, because you're not only just changing changing around some furniture. You're changing around deep level belief systems.
Yeah.
And those deep level belief systems are ingrained in, they were ingrained in me. And so now not only to just have a concept of them, but to have to live them out when stuff came up on me and I could choose this way or that way, and I chose this way, I had a choice. I had to learn the power of choice. I had to learn that I was not a victim. That some of the stuff I did was, I was a volunteer. I volunteered for some of that stuff. And now I had to learn how to show up for the best version of me. I had to learn that. And I'm learning that now still. I don't think I'll ever get to a place where I've arrived.
Right. None of us will, I don't think.
I just think that you get to a place where you can posture yourself a lot quicker.
Yeah.
In the process than you used to in the beginning.
Yeah. It doesn't take you as long to turn that boat, if
exactly.
you will.
Exactly. It doesn't take you that long. You know,
right.
You realize, I'm just going to turn around right now.
It gets faster.
Because if I don't turn around right now, I can see this is not going to end well.
Yeah.
And we talk about, you know, patterns and those kind of things and triggers. They're going to always happen. They're not going to change. So all those stories that, I mean, everything I've told you about who I am and where I come from and how I got here, they were building my pulpit. It was bringing me into a purpose. It was creating new opportunities for me to take a look at myself and become, my no to God was building my pulpit. He knew that he could talk to that lady and speak to her heart and she would call me out because she was a prophet. He knew it. And he knew that I would get the message.
And you did.
And I did.
Holy cow.
And I moved into the direction that he was calling me. Because he was really trying to save me, y'all. He knew. He knows our days. He knows our beginning, our end, and our middle.
Yeah.
And he knew that this ministry was part of my purpose, but it was also part of my pulpit. It was part of who I was going to become. And he was going to use every bit of it to create in me a new heart and a new mindset. So even when I joined on with City Gospel Mission and they continued to honor what I did. So let me just tell you that even when I wrote the vision, and I finally, in 1999, I married City Gospel Mission. And what that meant for me was that I had to dissolve my whole ministry. Mm. It was like the in the Bible, we hear about Isaac and Abraham. And first we talk about Abraham believing that he could have a son at his old age. And then Sarah helping him, that's called performing. So Sarah began to help him perform by getting Hagar. And then they had a baby called Ishmael.
It was a mess.
You know what I mean? Which was a mess, yeah. A hot mess.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you go back to when finally the promised son came. Come on. And then to me, I had reached a promise from God. And then he asked me to lay it on the altar to merge with City Gospel Mission. That would mean to dissolve my 501c3, all the work I did to get it. That would mean to dissolve my board. That would mean to dissolve all the people that had been supporting us financially, that I would turn them over to City Gospel Mission. Can you imagine what that took from a person coming from trauma the way I did?
I can't even begin to imagine how that went in your head as you're processing all this stuff out.
But see, what by that time, I had written a vision about all the things I wanted. I'd written a vision that I wanted to get paid for what I'm doing.
Right.
I wanted, so everything on the list. So when they asked me to marry them, they had already hired in our partnership this young woman named Laura Haas, who had a master's degree in counseling, to be the director of their program. And so she and I was working together. She was already getting paid.
Oh, wow.
And so as we were working together to look at how we, so when they finally proposed to me, the one thing that they did is the first thing they did, the honorable thing they did, you guys, was I'll never forget when they came into the office and they said, we want to know if you want to merge. And I said, what does that mean? They said that that would be like a marriage. And you would give up everything you have and you would come up under City Gospel Mission just like a husband. And you would take on their name. And, you know, and you would, you know what I'm saying, we would, you know, become one. So you would become one with City Gospel Mission. And I'm like, so where would my name be? Where would that? They said it would be nowhere. I'm like, what do you mean it would be nowhere? If I marry you all, so you're telling me that the name Having the Courage to Change is going to be dissolved and all of that? They said the possibility. So we need you to really think about this.
Wow, that had to be so heavy in your when you were praying, like, wow. I'm going to fade away out of this.
Again, because you got to realize that I came from a place of rejection and
right?
abandonment.
Oh,
come
oof.
On now.
Oof.
And so now someone is inviting me into an opportunity, but I've got to be willing to be some kind of way. See, how do I fit in? Where's my identity? Who will I become? I worked really hard from 1995 to 1999 to get this here.
Yeah.
This has become a part of who I am. I know it's my purpose to give this up to you and marry you and take on your name and your values and your likeness. Because while we were partners, I could still operate. I was operating under everything that I was doing.
Yeah.
So that was really heavy. And of course, I sought counsel. But I remember one night, the Lord told me to go back to that thing I wrote in December of 97 and check off when I go talk to them, ask them if everything on this list is going to align. And I remember asking them, if I marry you, will I have another house? Because I said on this, I want two houses. I said, will I have staff? Will I have vans? Will my staff get paid? Can I double the amount of people I have? And the last thing is, will this become my job?
The thing that's so beautiful about that is they had planned 1 month prior, didn't you say it was in November, mm-hmm. to do this? And you wrote out your desires in December. So mm-hmm. God was devising the answer to your prayer before you even prayed it.
Exactly.
And isn't our God amazing?
Amazing.
Amazing.
And so when I began to ask them to, you know, and it was like, you know, yes, 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 yes. And then I said, well, how much am I going to get paid? He said, the same amount as she's getting paid. I said, but she got a master's degree. He said, it don't matter. Because you have education far wider than she does. And I don't see her as being higher than you as much as I see you being and her being equal.
Wow. That had to blow your mind.
It blew my mind. It blew my mind. And it was the most of legal money. I mean, I was working for the nursing home, so I was probably making like $15,000 a year. And in that year, he paid me $35,000.
Wow.
And I was like,
Mind blown.
And all my staff was going to get paid.
Oh, how cool.
You know, just everything. And then I was going to have not one house, but two houses.
It was everything you wanted.
Everything I wanted. They had a van. They had just bought a van. And you'll see in my thing, in one of my things, what's on the side of the van? Having the courage to change. A ministry of city gospel mission. So even when I said yes, I didn't lose everything that I thought I was losing. I gained everything God said I would have.
Yeah.
And he gave me double for my trouble to marry City Gospel Mission. And I'm not going to say, you know what I mean, but that I was the first acquisitional merge that this ministry had ever done.
Oh, I didn't know that, really.
Mm-hmm. I was the first.
Even before City Cure?
City Cure came in 2001.
Wow.
I was the first.
I knew that that one was pretty early, but man.
I was the first.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I was the first acquisitional merge for City Gospel Mission.
That's too cool.
And I'm, you know, and so in that space when I began to talk to my board, everyone had hesitations.
Of course.
But I told them that if I had to make the choice, I'm going to go with God. Because he is telling me that my purpose, that this is my pulpit. Marrying them is going to expand me farther than I ever thought. And it was going to protect me. And it was going to provide for me. And he had planned it before the foundations of the world. And that I needed to trust him again to lay my Isaac on the altar, to lay my baby on the altar and trust if God be for it, then no man can harm it. And so that is exactly how this became my purpose and my pulpit. And so we moved from Kenny, my husband and I dissolved our ministry, our 501c3, our bank account. You know, we had a big banquet to announce this marriage. We had it at the Manor House.
Oh, wow.
It was beautiful. Because I was doing banquets every year to raise money, so that was going to be my last banquet. And they did it up good. And to show the love and how they were going to take care of it, this ministry, and how this ministry was going to flourish, and that it was just amazing how I saw God operate in that moment. And I was looking at some pictures not too long ago. I wish I could show them to you all. Just looking back over the history of how I got to City Gospel Mission. But God knew when I was laying in my prison bed that I would be in that moment even then. See, I know now that everything I am, I was. I just had to start believing it for myself. And that doesn't make me perfect, but that makes me present
mm-hmm.
enough to know that the God who gave his only son up so I can live wanted me to have life and that more abundantly.
Amen.
And so my pulpit is my purpose, and my purpose is my pulpit, but my pulpit is my posture. And giving up that ministry and posturing myself under someone else was just the beginning of him showing me what it's like to believe him and to trust him.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. That's so good. And when you were talking about that, it is your posture and how it could be when you're at the bank, when you're at the grocery store. The quote from St. Francis of Assisi, which says, "Preach often, and when necessary, use words," meaning your preaching is in how you act and how you treat people and the things you do. And then when you have to maybe use words, you know, use those words. But otherwise, show who God is in how you do things. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's your posture. That I don't know why that quote just kept rolling around in my head as you were saying that.
So that's how I married City Gospel Mission.
That's so cool.
And that's how...
Love story.
A love story.
Right.
From God.
Yeah.
You know, from God. Another love story from
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It just has been one amazing moment to the next. It's, you know, it unfolds more and more.
That's
you know
so
what I
good.
Mean? It unfolds more and more. And that group of people who came and visit me, all of them are gone. All of them are gone from City Gospel Mission, and
wow.
I'm still here.
All of them,
every last one of them. That was Laura Haas, Ed Perrine, Steve Hoffine, and Steve Andre. All of them are gone from City Gospel Mission, and I am still here.
Wow.
They are the four people I met with when I first met City Gospel Mission.
When they started dating you.
When they started dating me. They were the four people.
Yeah.
And all of them have left City Gospel Mission to moved on to other things and... You know, but I'm just saying, and I'm still here. That amazes me within itself.
Yeah. The longevity that you've had here when they've moved on. Again, God knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He was bringing me to a safe place.
Yeah. Where you could thrive and grow. Mm-hmm. And
be safe.
Be safe,
because this place
right?
has definitely helped me to develop and grow and be safe.
Nurtured.
And nurtured.
Yeah.
And, you know, and act out at times, because sometimes I can act like a fool. And so, you know,
can't we all?
I was immature, a lot of my immaturity, but I was covered. I was covered by God's love and his protection. And he does it through people and places and opportunities.
Yeah. He gave you plenty to, like, redeem anything as
exactly.
you went. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, this is cool. This is cool. Well, we can wrap it up here. It'll be a short episode this time. This has been so much fun. And this season is going to just keep going, y'all. It's going to keep going. Next week, we're going to talk about loving others as a shepherd versus a sheriff.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a great story, because that's had very practical application here.
Yes.
For
yes.
us at CGM. And so...
And because you know I came from prison, so most of my stuff has probably been the law. It's been the sheriff. So
been
learning.
The popo.
Been the popo. You know, don't make me call the popo on you, because I will. No, matter of fact, I became the popo. The very thing I hated most, I became. Amen.
Amen.
God had delivered me again.
Oh, it's going to be so good, you guys. There's so much that have happened here. So, yeah. All right. Until next time, folks. Hi, guys. Every week we get the honor of spending time with you, sharing our hearts, and offering insights into all the ways we get turned around as people, and hopefully showing an escape route to better choices. Another place that is offering the same type of path for better opportunities is City Gospel Mission. Since 1924, they've been a beacon of hope to the homeless, those recovering from life-controlling issues, youth, and to those needing job services. If you'd like to volunteer or donate, you can visit www.citygospelmission.org. That is www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lakrita Bowman.